One pandemic and all the hiring since the last Great Recession is gone. The news today is that 4.4 million more people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week, bringing to 26 million the total number of laid-off people turning to states for this help in just 5 weeks. Diane Swonk is the chief economist of the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Morning.
Good morning.
Does this look true to you that now we can say with this data that all the jobs of the long economic expansion have now been wiped out?
Sadly, yes. Not only have they all been wiped out, we've probably even gone before the peak that we saw previous to the expansion in terms of wiping out the jobs. I think this is really stunning in terms of, you know, this is also an undercount of how many people are actually unemployed out there. And that's really stunning, and underemployed as well.
And as you look through all this data from the different states, you see signs that higher wage positions are also being increasingly affected?
There's nowhere to hide, and that has been the case, is after the first initial weeks, we saw the spread into other categories and higher wage jobs. The more and more we get into these, the deeper to the bone it's cutting, and that's important as well, is that there really isn't an escape for anyone out there from the COVID-19 crisis.
And what were you telling me, that when the states turn this data over to the feds, this little box they can fill out to explain how come the unemployment claims are so high, and what have they been saying?
The overwhelming majority of states have now gone from saying which industries and COVID-19 to no comment.
Yeah, meaning it's clear what's going on here. We don't have to explain it to you. Diane Swonk at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you.
The price of oil is up 26% now, but still below $18 a barrel. S&P, NASDAQ, and the Dow all up about 0.7%, up 154 points on the Dow. Vietnam has a closely watched virus containment system, less than 300 confirmed infections and no deaths reported. Vietnam is now relaxing restrictions. Here's the BBC's Jonathan Head.
Vietnam is a one-party communist state with an efficient local administration and intrusive security apparatus, which is informed promptly of any possible infections and enforces quarantine even on entire districts to stop them from spreading. It's been unable to replicate the mass testing carried out by Germany and South Korea. Its health system is poorly resourced and would have been quickly overwhelmed by a more serious outbreak. Vietnam acted with speed when the first COVID-19 cases were reported in late January, stopping flights, eventually closing the border with China, and launching a nationwide information campaign with slick video messages and posters reminiscent of the heroic style used in the Vietnam War to mobilize the public behind what the country's leaders depicted as a national struggle against the virus.
That's the BBC's Southeast Asia correspondent.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to Econ Extra Credit to revisit basic economics each week. Our reading in this 12th and final chapter of the free Intro Econ textbook is about the role of government in the economy. That's visible in stories this week about the 90 firms now producing tests for coronavirus antibodies to see if you had it and recovered. It's becoming clear that some of those tests have high failure rates, and after the Food and Drug Administration deregulated this in March, it's getting stricter again now. Deregulation possibly leading to tests that give a false sense of security would be an unintended consequence, something economists obsess about. Homa Zarghami is a professor of economics at Barnard College in New York. Homa, thanks for doing virtual office hours here.
Oh, I'm happy to.
Economists like to nudge policymakers about unintended consequences when they draw up a policy to fix something.
A policy is better the more of these unintended consequences it takes into account before the policy is administered. Even then, there are still unintended consequences insofar as there are unanticipated effects that might occur.
We have this lockdown in parts of the United States, sheltering in place, huge economic cost, but a huge public health benefit, and still some unanticipated benefits and some unanticipated terrible costs.
Exactly. So some of the costs are very kind of clear. There's a fall in economic activity and GDP. There's a rise in unemployment. But then there are some that are less anticipated, like the rise in domestic violence that's been charted in a number of U.S. cities. In terms of positive consequences, I mean, one can look at car accidents.
Yeah, in California, the rate of accidents has been cut in half since the shelter in place. I saw data from China that carbon dioxide linked to climate change down 25% when they had to shut their economy down.
Exactly. So some of these unintended consequences, again, they're not the objectives of the policy, but they're having these beneficial effects as well. So in addition to that, there's been a fall in crime rates in many U.S. cities, and this kind of now famous fact that March was the first March in years that there hasn't been a school shooting.
But still, policymakers have to continue to figure out ways to think about the wider consequences of this dramatic policy. There was a group of eminent people at Johns Hopkins who are wrestling with this, and they're all for the lockdown because it saves lives, but they also point out that while the virus is lethal, so is poverty, and economists want us to take that into account.
I mean, these, again, these unintended consequences, they can be anticipated. And clearly the government did anticipate this to some extent in its pairing the staying at home policy with the congressional package and other fiscal and monetary policies. And then as far as poverty rates are concerned, then you can kind of look across countries at policies that are aimed more specifically at dealing with poverty and ones that are aimed more specifically at trying to help businesses.
Homa Zarghami is a professor of economics at Barnard College. She also advises the nonprofit that produced the textbook we've been reading. Homa, always good to talk to you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit with Basic Economics each week. Get a link to the free intro Econ textbook and get our newsletter at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.